The opportunity to be here at Nile is a wonderful privilege on my part to be here today and to stand behind the pulpit that I once stood behind and to say to all of you, thank you for being a part of this service of worship today. It is indeed a wonderful opportunity that we have to serve the Lord and to be that way and to meet others that have been born since that day and time, and to see you to be faithful to the Lord in ways is a good thing to be done. All these years that come and go, are they a part of God's Word and God's teaching? Yes, indeed they are. Listen to Paul telling Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and in verse 2. The things I have learned and heard and learned of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Time is involved in his statement there, that there would be time enough to teach others and to go forth as down the stream of time. Somebody taught your parents, your grandparents, taught you. You rendered obedience to the same gospel. You have the same hope, the same peace that you can have. What a blessing it is, the opportunity to reflect upon that in a time when we can say, well, we had an opportunity to make a change in life and to improve our daily walk of life, because that's the thing that Paul told Timothy to teach. He said, the same things that you've heard and learned of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. What a blessing it is that they had and he had in regard to telling them to do this. Will the world come to an end? Yes, it will come to a close. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I want you to observe, please, if you would, how that the Lord here through Paul is saying to brethren at Thessalonica that there is something going to happen to them, and that's going to happen to them is something that they were not thinking about. Between 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, about 54-55 AD, you'll see that the message that he was delivering to them about the gospel and obeying the gospel, being faithful to the Lord and so forth so on, is now being challenged by those who come along, and they've actually forged his name to some letters that they have written, and they claim that this is the message of Paul to them, and it's not the message of Paul. It's not the message of the Lord at all. And so he tells them in this regard in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse number 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself against all that is called God, or that is worshipped. So he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I yet was with you, I told you these things? Indeed, this was not a message that was new to them. It was not new to them that there would come false teachers along the way. This was a false teaching that had been done. Even though there were some who had written letters to them and forged his name on that regard, he says that day will not come of the coming of the Lord until there's certain falling away first. There was a falling away back yonder when, from the biblical times, and the time that your grandparents and your knowledge came to be, there was a falling away from the faith. What did the Lord plan in this regard? We used a passage in our class study this morning of John 17 and 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That has always been the case, that the Lord wanted his word to direct the ways of mankind. As a result of that, instead of feelings directing our way, instead of our summation of truth and ideals of doing that sort of thing for us, we find that the Word of God, the truth, is that which would direct our ways of life. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, Paul says, we walk by faith and not by sight. If we walk just by sight and the ideas of what we see and the ideas of the miracles that were done in the New Testament time and their trust in that, they would miss the idea that he wanted them to walk by faith. Jesus himself explained the purpose of miracles in Mark chapter 2. You remember the man that was let down in the house there where he was. because the throng of people was so severe, and every door and every window was closed and everything because he was inside. And there was Jesus there, and they let this man down, and here was the case, that Jesus could look at this man and tell him, thy sins have been forgiven thee, you can be cleansed. He was a victim of palsy, and as a result, he was lying upon a bed. Those around there said, did you hear this man say his sins be forgiven him? Only God can forgive sins. And this man is claiming to be God, claiming to be the Son of God. Well, this is just amazing to us. Jesus knew what they were thinking. They hadn't said it out loud yet, but he knew what they were thinking. And he said, let me ask y'all a question. Which would be easier to say to this man? I just said something to him. Which would be easier to say to him? Thy sins be forgiven thee, or rise up, take up thy bed and walk. Well, of course, in their reasoning, as well as anybody who did not know about the fullness of the story, we would say, well, it's easier to say something than it is to do something like that. Easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee. Jesus said, but so that you may know that the Son of Man has the power on earth to forgive sin, I say to the man sick of palsy, take up thy bed and walk. Jesus, in this very account, illustrated to us what the purpose of miracles was. The purpose of miracles was to show mankind that by the word of the Lord, there could be forgiveness that is rendered. When you and I obey His word and follow what He said regarding salvation from sin, then the assurance of that word is a real joy within our hearts. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians, their record is made there about how that they taught and how they lived and how they had a joyful way of life. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3, we read regarding the way of life that they learned, and they understood that truth, and they began to practice that way of life. And they had within their spirit of thought, their spirit of mind, how thankful they were and how joyful they were, brought to them by the Holy Spirit as they obeyed that word, as they obeyed that truth, as they became people who obeyed the Lord. They found themselves overjoyed that they could be in that position, that they were now forgiven. They had a new hope. They had a new way of life to live, and they were enjoying that relationship with the Lord already. And the joy of the Spirit of God was a part of their spirit of life as they reflected upon what they had done. When you and I reflect upon our thinking, a movie that we're seeing, the kind of ungodly ways of life that are being represented there, can we say that this is the Spirit of God joyfully with us, or can we say that we are grieving the Spirit of God by our thought processes? He does not want us to become so tempted by that we yield to that way of life and that practice of life. He wants us to do His will and to do the right things of the Lord, and as a result, rejoice in the presence of the Spirit of God in our hearts and lives as we live for the Lord in His word from day to day. When that word is passed along, it gives hope. And that's what Paul is saying to Timothy there in 2 Timothy 2. The years may come and go. The opportunities will be there. And it will be the case that during those years, this same message of truth is to be proclaimed. This same message is to be brought up. This same message is to be practiced by everybody as they live and as they study God's Word. Sometimes along the way, we find ourselves wondering, was there a place to celebrate the years that have come and gone? Was there a place to celebrate what my grandfather came to know, what my father came to know, what my life was now led to believe and practice? And the answer is yes. The same that thou hast learned, heard and learned of me among many witnesses, Paul said to Timothy, commit to faithful men who will teach others also. Faithful man to teach another who will be faithful man. Another who will be a faithful man. Another who will be a faithful man. On down the stream of time. To our generation of time, here we are. Somebody taught someone that taught us. They taught us. We accepted that. Now, The question comes for you and me. Are we teaching anybody? Some people say, well, it's not by the words that you teach, it's by the example of life. Well, let's just go to that one again. What about my example of life? Is that teaching somebody to do the will of the Lord? Is that causing him to say, I'll obey the Lord too. I'll be what the Lord asked me to be too. I'll rejoice in that. I'll have that joy in the Spirit of God in my heart and life. I will enjoy living for Him from day to day and having a hope that no matter what the circumstance is of my living and dying and meeting the Lord on the other side, that I will be ready for that day and hour. I will enjoy the life that I live as long as I can, do as much good as I can, and I will still meet Him on life's other side. What a blessing it is. Our Lord Jesus knew that the time of earth would come and go as they live on earth too. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus our Lord talked about that, beginning verse 35. He talked about that day and that hour knoweth no man. He will come again, but He'll come not as quickly as the brethren of Thessalonica were being taught that He was going to come. They'll come as a result of that teaching of the word of the Lord. And He said, my Father in heaven knows. He goes on to talk about the ways of life that Noah did and how it was in that day and time, how he was faithful to God and faithful in his right and righteous way of life. As a result of that, he was obedient to the Lord and was spared that deluge of the great flood that was over there at that time. But he understood this practice to be a practice that they all ought to practice, and they all ought to do the work in the will of the Lord. For that day, he says, will not come except there come a falling away. There was to be a people who came along that really didn't pay attention to God's word. They got a little bit of it here and a little bit of it there. And instead of staying in that which God intended, the context of the Bible. You ever wondered why God set up a period of time called the patriarch time versus the Mosaic time versus the Christian dispensation in which we live? Why, it set up a natural way for there to be a section of the Bible that did not deal with the next section of the Bible. When we find ourselves today going back and teaching just in any willy-nilly way of life of doing things, that we are to build an ark for our salvation today. We're to build an ark of gopher wood. Look here, it plainly says by God's word in Genesis 6, it plainly says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord and was taught to build that ark for his salvation and his family. Were the only ones that listened to him and obeyed him. We're supposed to do that today and leave out the context of it. Would you know what gopher wood is to begin the process of doing what you're being commanded to do? And if you did know what gopher wood would, how would you be that person to look for that deluge to come, that flood to come, when he plainly says in 2 Peter 3, it's not going to come by water anymore. It'll come by fire that dissolves these things. What manner of person ought you to be? That's the idea. And so that's not true, not accurate. What if I go to the writing of Moses and I go to the commandments of the law? Paul will write in Galatians 5 and verse 4, if you try to be justified before God by the works of the law, you've fallen away from the whole system of grace. The whole system of God's plan was there, revealed through Christ Jesus. The law was a dead thing. The law was packed. Let me ask you, what kind of life are you living? What kind of teaching are you doing? If you're teaching by the way of the patriarch or by the way of the old law, you have nothing to benefit. But if we're teaching by way of this good gospel of Christ, listen to what he said there in this regard. For the day of the Lord will not come as a way in life in which we look for him to come, but he'll come as a thief in the night. What are we to teach people? Get ready and prepared now, today. Don't wait for a celebration time. Don't wait for I'll do that when this is a real meaningful thing for me and my family to remember. Don't wait for a time like that. Be a person who obeys the Lord today. Be a person who puts into practice what He has taught today. And as a result of that, we find ourselves being faithful to God, following His word, doing His will. We have a hope of the soul. What Paul tell the brethren in Thessalonica to do? Don't pay attention to these things that are written as though they're in my name. This is not the teaching that I gave to you. I gave to you this teaching earlier. I told you about these things that would come about. And these things are here present. Don't be deceived by these things that are being said to you now. So it is that time allows us an opportunity that while we have that time to work the cause of the Lord, aren't we grateful somebody in the family, somebody we met, somebody that taught us the message of the Lord. Somebody taught that person the message of the Lord. As a result of that, down the stream of time, there's a joy to have the knowledge to be passed along. What a blessing. Miss Jane's dad, Brother Hull, and I met him. I've been offered since the days and times of opportunity several times to train preachers. After I was a part of studies here and everything, and a part of the way of life with Brother Paul at Kosciuszko, I went up to Fried Hardeman. And Brother Gardner, who was the registrar of the school, Brother Dixon, who was president of that school, they spotted me somehow or another along the way with my activities there. And one day in the chapel time, they always had announcements at the close of that event. They said, the one making the announcement said, Brother Dixon and Brother Gardner would like to meet with Robert Rawson in their office after chapel today. Well, that dismissed me from a class that I may have had at 11 o'clock or 11:30, whatever have you, to go there for a few minutes anyway. And so I went in. Brother Dixon said, we see here that you have a special gift. You can train preachers. We'd like for you to go on to Western Kentucky State and get your master, your bachelor's degree and master's degree and come back here and train preachers here at Fried Hardeman. Well, my mom and dad thought I had a gift, and every night of the week, I preached there at home. I was given assignments in the Bible and things like that before the days of television, before the days in which you cut the radio off at evening time. I was given the opportunity to preach to them. And so that was the second time I'd been told I had a gift, and this is an opportunity for you to serve that way. When I met Brother Hull, was dating Miss Jane, he said, I believe you have a gift, Robert. He said, I've got an idea for a school. There are a lot of men over here that like to preach the gospel, but they work in the rice mills. They work in the factories here. And he said, you know, the school's now requiring you to have this ACT score in order to enter. And if you have that score and enter into, then you can work. And if you don't make the grade the first year, the school is being judged on that basis. And what you have them to do is they will ask the person to sit out a year and study and how to make better grades in that class and then come back the next year. And he said, when they've left their families and they left their job of support and they don't have any money coming in to that and they've gone to school, he said, it'll be a shame, but they'll live. They'll quit. They won't continue on. They don't have that much confidence in making the score to begin with, and if they do, if they have to sit out a semester in order to study how to study, then it'll be a problem for them. And he said, I think we ought to train them in while they're working. While they're working their jobs, train them on a night to preach and teach the gospel, and that's what, eventually, that's what it did. We started the school. We're 50 years old this year. In that school, we have over 500 gospel preachers somewhere around the countryside. And what a blessing it is to have that opportunity to teach the Word of God and the will of God to them that they'll teach others and others also, leading to scores and scores and hundreds of people that hear that message of the Lord and obey the Lord. It's a wonderful time to talk about those good things. You know, when I thought about this work in these ways, little did I imagine that the years would come and go in such a way that we could be back together on this kind of a day and this time of a year, that during this year, sometime along the way, the 1919 year would be the 2019 year. But a lot of people have helped that to be the case. How thankful we are that that can be true. When our Lord Jesus said, "No man knows that day and hour," and he said there in Matthew 24 vividly, "I don't know that hour. My Father only knows." He said that we would be prepared for that day and that hour. As a result, we can be prepared to serve the Lord. How can I obey the gospel of the Lord? Will I obey the gospel of the Lord just like they did on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2? Or just like Cornelius did at the household there in Caesarea in Acts chapter 10? Can any man forbid water that he should not be baptized to receive the Spirit the same as we in the beginning? Here's the idea of the Lord that was there. He wanted Peter to tell him the full message of the Lord. As a result of that, he was obedient to the gospel. When Peter went back to the people there in Antioch and talked to them about this situation, they said, "What compelled you to go over there?" And he said, "Well, the Lord compelled me to go over that way. And I taught this message to them, and they obeyed this gospel." And everything it says in Acts 11, verse 18, that they held their peace and glorified God, saying, "He has granted repentance unto life unto the Gentiles." What happened? Granted repentance unto life unto the Gentiles. You'll not read the word repent in Acts chapter 10 at all. But you can read about the situation. What did he repent? A good man, a godly man, a man who wanted to serve the Lord in every way, was worshiping by way of the patriarch system. Now he's being taught about Christ having come. You're to obey the Christ. And that's what he did. He repented from the patriarch service to the Christian dispensation of service. And now then he could be forgiven. What a blessing it is to have that in front of us today to tell others. Here's the message of the Lord that needs to be practiced by everybody. What if they didn't live up to it? Well, in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. Who are these people in 1 John 1 and verse 9? They're people in the fellowship, according to verses 3 through 5, in the fellowship of the Father and the Son. They've become obedient to the gospel. They become in fellowship with the Father and the Son. And what if they do their day-to-day not right? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We've obeyed the Lord. We're doing the right thing. We're doing righteous ways of conduct. This is a glory to the God of heaven, and he's so thankful. But if you confess your sins, day-to-day basis, I find myself in wrongdoing. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That opportunity is yours today. Here's the privilege and opportunity for you to begin this life of service to the Lord in obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ and to be restored if you've fallen away from that way. It's a good time. It's the best time because you're alive in your full conscious of thought and the ability to do that today is a wonderful time to do it. Would you come to Jesus and obey him as this time and opportunity is ours today as we stand together?
When we walk with the Lord, in the light.